Let me ask you something. What if God was not on the throne? You who are not saved, you'd have no hope. You feel like maybe now you don't have any hope. But God is on the throne. The Lord laid these thoughts on my heart a few days ago. It's the greatest thing in the world to know that Christ, our Lord, is on His throne. He hadn't gone off and left us. No, I like to study the Bible, the thrones, the kings, and all of those things, and it's a great thing. But to know that the Lord God of heaven is on His throne. He said He wouldn't forsake us, didn't He? Amen. Oh, isn't that a refreshing thought this morning? No matter what comes against us, no matter how the devil's raged, no matter what the flesh does, no matter what the worlds do, God is still on the throne. Amen. I know, you know, this world is in a terrible place. It's a terrible shape. It's gotten so bad. You know, I talk about a lot of time with Brother Freddie and maybe Brother Glenn. We talk about, I like to talk about the old time when I was a kid. Boy, it was a happy time. Look back. But it ain't no more. This world is in a mess, folks. If you even keep up with the local news or the national news, the world is in a terrible place. Listen. He's still on the throne. And I want to impress that you, on your heart, as never before, our God, our Lord, is still on the throne. Let the infidels rage. I read in the paper where the atheists and the agnostics and all of those folks, they say that what's coming upon us, our nation, is God's fault. They blame the Lord for all of those things. How that God could be to blame. As I said, I'm happy to be back with you this morning. The Lord has given me a little bit of strength to get back here. Not doing good this morning, but I praise the Lord for it. And you pray for me. Many days there in the hospital and since then on the recuperating bed and in my chair, I've had much time to reflect much about time to let my heart and my mind scan this ministry. Look over this ministry, our mission places, our tape families, seeing what the Lord is doing, seeing what the Lord has done, seeing what the Lord will do. And listen, some of our folks are playing church. I know that. And seeing how some of them are running from the Lord, some of you. Seeing how some are taken up with the world, those things have occupied my mind, thinking about those folks that are not what I call interested in their souls. The Lord has given us the truth here, the ministry, for 80 years now. Folks have been saved and some folks come and go, but let's get honest with the Lord, folks. I tell you often, I have to kind of refrain myself. I want to see you saved. I do. I want to see you saved. And I get letters from folks all over the country occasionally telling me they want to be saved. It blesses my heart. And then I get a letter once in a great while. I got a letter from a man the other day and said, the Lord has saved him up in Tennessee somewhere. But in that grace, the Lord, under this ministry, the Lord saved him. Made him a new creature in Christ. I hope he's listening today. Listen, these things have occupied my mind for the last few weeks, knowing that I could do nothing. Listen, knowing that I had no strength to do anything, I had to turn it all over to the Lord and leave it in His hands. If you want to be saved, that's what you have to do. If you are saved, that's what you have to do. And during all those times, during those days and nights, when I was where I could think, the Lord laid His thoughts upon my heart. Kept coming there day and night and found there in Job chapter 13 and verse 15. Listen now, that's my text. Listen now. Maybe you don't listen. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. One of the greatest verses of scripture in God's word. Showing us, if you hadn't read the story of Job, I admonish you to do it. It'll make you feel about 2 inches high. According to what that man suffered. Listen. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Now, my friend, that's one of the greatest passages of scripture that ought to reassure you. First of all, that you get a grip on it. And seize that same saying that Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I believe that become a resolve in every poor lost sinner's heart, whoever gets saved. Whoever gets saved, I believe it does. And for you who know the Lord, as you go through the trials and the tribulation of this life that we all suffer, it ought to be your motto. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I believe that we ought to reflect or look back, take time out and meditate upon how the Lord has in the past shown us mercy. Do you know it's mercy to wake up in the morning? That's right. If you think about in America, it's 350 odd million people in this country, citizens. Every morning there's a bunch of them that don't wake up. You ever think about that? There's a bunch of folks that don't wake up. I read the obituaries every morning, well, when we get a paper. And I see oftentimes died in his sleep, passed away in his sleep. Folks do that thing, my friend. Could be you and me. Listen now. You want something to bless your heart? Go back in your spiritual life to where the Lord found you. Have you ever done that? You know the Lord? Where did the Lord find you? I can tell you exactly the day he found me. The day he began to deal with my heart. That's what I'm talking about. Oh, listen. I thought I was all right. I thought I was somebody come. Oh, boy. Lord washed all that out pretty quick. Listen. Lord found you and then come on forward all the way up till today. See what the Lord has done. How he's dragged you or drug you out of the mud holes, the pitfalls of sin. How that when we walk out of his will, the Lord has graciously picked us up and brought us forward, brought us to this very day. I think we're so remiss in not having the realization that Christ has done this for us, all of this. You look at people that you know that has no concern for their souls. They have no praise for their heart, in their heart, for the Lord. No. But listen, how that when we are despondent and depressed and frustrated, how the Lord has given us grace and strength, though he slay us, yet we'll trust him. We often attempt to bring you the message that Christ died for sinners, also that you must trust him. We bring you that expression oftentimes, most every one of us that I know of does. You must trust the Lord. Salvation is trusting the Lord, leaning upon the Lord, adhering to His promises, knowing that He was the Son of God, and that He died, He suffered, bled, crucified on the cross to save a poor sinner like me and like you. My friend, we ought to be shouting to the high heavens. We should. Lord, save me. I know I love to hear when the Lord saves someone, and newly saved individual, it really blesses my heart. Listen, the scripture says most of us here, most of you and myself, are very familiar with Job's life. I would think that most of you are. I hope you are. And if you're not, I wish you'd read it, study it, how he suffered the loss of everything that he had, his family, his material goods. He was a wealthy, wealthy man, very wealthy. He had 10 children, 7 sons and 3 daughters. That was a blessing. Oh, my friend, but he lost them all. Lost them all. I've been thinking about that for several days now. He lost everything. But the Lord gave him grace. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. And I could name you much of the material things that were listed in his assets that he owned. But that's not important. Job lost those things, and then his health. Then his health, from the bottom of his head to the top of from top of his head to the bottom of his foot, he was covered with boils. Covered with boils, my friend. Listen, his health was taken from him. The Bible says he was covered with boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. And you and I don't know anything about suffering. We don't know anything about suffering. Surely some folks do. I remember when I was a kid, boy coming up, me and my brother, we had boils under our arms, in our groin. Doctor Lansom, take a sharp knife and just touch it. And it just spurt out terrible looking stuff. But we just had one or two. But he was covered with them from his head to his toe. And while he was in that condition, he said, Lord, though you save me. He was near death. If he was covered from his head to his toe, he was near death. He said, though you slay me, yet will I trust you. Listen, now, we don't know anything about suffering. No. And listen, we have no concept of what took place in this man's life and in his suffering. I want you to go there and read it. Read it carefully and see what all he took. His family, all of those children blown away. All of his plantation, if he had one, was blown away. He said, though you slay me, Lord, I'll trust you. The Lord had to give him grace to say that. I don't know if you've ever uttered those words or not. But if you know the Lord, I believe you have. Lord, I'll trust you come hell or high water. That's right. Listen. Now, though you slay me during that time of suffering, in that time of loss, in that time of depression, which surely must have set in, he said again, though you slay me, yet I will trust you. I've been made to look closely at how you and I, as God's children, can trust the Lord. All things. We're so faithless, aren't we? We're so weak, aren't we? We're so timid to lean on the Lord. We're just so timid. We're so apt to fly backwards when problems arise. We are, my friend. I know. Now, We're so apt to cave in to the mutterings and murmurings of Satan when he tells us those things. When he shows us how weak we are and how wicked we are and how insufficient we are for the task that lies ahead, we murmur and complain, make excuses. And I include myself there, certainly. Certainly more than you. Listen now. I don't know what the Lord has in store for this work. I don't. I hadn't much time to reflect upon that. Day by day, the Lord has supplied the needs of the work here. The Lord has raised up workers, given them strength to go on. Many of you know how short-handed we are in the work if our workers are not able to function like they once. But listen, I don't know if the Lord is going to enlarge the work. I don't know. I don't know if he's going to cut back on the broadcast and all of those things. We don't have that knowledge. But like Job, we can trust the Lord. Now, the broadcast is going out more so than ever in our history. That we're getting out the gospel day by day. I don't know if we will just go on as usual. The Lord has blessed us in the last 4 or 5 years, 6 years, increased the stations. Many of them increased the productivity of our bookstore and of the printing and all of those things that go related thing. The Lord has been increasing for these years, and I don't know if it'll go on. But listen, I'm convinced this one thing, that as your pastor, you can trust the Lord. I can trust the Lord. The Lord has given me the grace to leave all of those things in His hands. Sometimes the way looks mighty dark. Listen, leave you in His hands if you're not saved. I can't save you. I can't awaken you, but we leave you there in His hands. You couldn't be in a better place, nowhere. Listen, He gave me the wisdom, the strength, listen, to go on. Get out the gospel. That's all I ask that the Lord for, to give us grace, and I ask the choir to sing that song. God is still on the throne for a purpose. I wanted you to hear the words. If you didn't catch all the words, you write me or call me. I'll send you a copy of the words. Listen, I hope that it has gone home to some of your hearts. Maybe just one poor soul. You and I are not helpless because we have the Lord. We serve the Lord. And it says He's on His throne. Listen now. We serve the risen Lord. We serve the King of glory. We serve the Creator of all things. Listen, folks, let's be realistic. Let's realize what the Lord is, who the Lord is, and what the Lord God of heaven created everything. Created everything. I heard a guy the other night talking about kind of along this line. He said there's universes out there that would make this one look like peanuts. We don't know nothing about. We don't. The Lord give these folks wisdom enough to fly to the moon back there a while back, not too long ago. They got them up there in a capsule now. 6 months out of the year, they stay there and live and breathe. And I don't know how they do it. That's not my business. But the Lord causes. Lord, give them strength to do that. And I know so much we could praise the Lord for. But listen. Now, let me go back. We serve the Creator of all things. Down to the minutest worm or bug. You know, I see little old flies flying around my kitchen sink while I'm taking my medicine. Little old bitty bug. Ain't as big as a whatever. The Lord created him. Created two of them, and they make more. I'm telling you, my folks, we ought to be thinking about those things instead of throwing all that off the shoulder. Now, listen. Man who puts himself in opposition to the Lord's work and to God's ministry, that man, that woman, they're in the hands of a sovereign God. God does as He pleases. I didn't know what that word meant when I come under this ministry. I didn't know what total depravity was. I didn't know because I was not religious in any sense of the form. But I know now. I know that God is on the throne, sovereign. I like to think about those times when that queen came before Esther, before King there, and if he didn't hold out the scepter of grace, that was back in those years. We don't know nothing about that. That was a tradition. If he didn't hold out the scepter of grace, it was a scepter. If he never held it out to her, they'd chop her head off. They'd take her outside and cut her head off. But that's not in our... We don't have to worry about that. But the Lord's still holding out that scepter of grace to you and me. Amen. Day by day, we can go to the Lord in a moment. We can get an audience with the Lord in a twinkling of an eye. You lay on our bed at night, every light turned off, dark as pitch, you talk to the Lord. Amen. I wish our folks would realize that. We're not cut off from God. No. Our problem is we don't do it. If you're not saved, do you pray? Do you pray at all? You know, I didn't know what prayer was till I met under this ministry. Our prayer was, now lay me down to sleep, pray the Lord my soul to keep. God bless Mama and Papa and old Billy Goat. That was just foolishness, but that's what Mama taught us how to say. It was better than nothing, I guess. Oh, my friend, you folks up there in Palmer, Alaska, I hope you're hearing us. If you would, pick up the phone and call me tomorrow. My email address is pastor@radiomission.org. I'd love to hear from you. And also the folks in Alexandria, Louisiana, and Mobile, Alabama. Some of those folks may have already heard us on the Radio Missions Radio. But I'm happy that you can hear us. And we're looking forward to a long relationship with you folks and expand it more. We've got another station in Alaska that's putting together the transmitter and be on the air, I think, in the 1st of May around that time. I'll let you know. But my friend, we have, it's just like Joe, he had that inward information that the Lord was going to keep him. Though he slay him, if he slayed him, he'd raise him back up. So I ask you this morning, if you're not saved, think about your soul. Don't think about the world condition. They're not going to get no better. They're not going to get well at all, get good at all. They're going to get bad, worse. But think about what happens if you don't get saved. We have a little book that we just printed. It's Obstacles to a Heaven-Sent Revival. I wish every one of you would call us and we'd send it to you. Obstacles to a Heaven-Sent Revival. You'd be surprised what those obstacles are. But we're suffering because of them, my friend. But listen, as I stand here this morning, and listen, coming back to the office this past week, I want to pick up where we left off. Don't want to miss a lick if we can help it. Go forward preaching the gospel with a renewed vigor. I'm resolved to not let down the bars for anything. Someone asked me what that meant. They heard me say that in a message. Well, when we was on the farm, we didn't have the money to build gates, so we put bars across the gap where the cows could go and come. You let them leave them bars down at night and wasn't supposed to, so everything get out. Well, we don't want to let the bars down here. No, sir. No, sir. And the Lord has given us. I think about it, and I have hardly ever mention it, but I think about it. Back there several months ago, maybe longer, the Lord led me. I worry a lot. I've told y'all before, I'm a worrier. My brother and I was in business together for a long time. He didn't worry about anything. He didn't worry about anything. But I am. I worried enough for me and him both. But I was worried about the work. I was falling apart. And the Lord led me to ask Brother Glenn to come in here, and I never could have made a better choice. I'm telling you, and he don't want me bragging on him, but I do. And I love him. I appreciate him. And Brother Freddie and the rest of the crew, and my friend, y'all don't know what it is to have someone that you can depend on. Know that you can depend on him. And they know that I'm a poor, wretched weakling. And they do for me more than I could ever ask for myself. Brother Freddie fixes my breakfast in the morning. And Brother Glenn does the preaching. And my friend, the work's going on great, I think. And the mail is coming in. The finances are great. I told some Baptist preacher not long ago, I said, you know any Baptist preachers that don't owe anybody anything? He said, no, most churches are head over heels in debt. I said, well, this one don't. This church don't owe anybody anything except our light bill and water bill. No, but that's the grace, isn't it? Isn't that grace? Listen. Now, as I said, we don't want to slack up on the work that was going on before I sort of left out of here. We're going to keep doing that. Folks tell me, Pastor, be slow now. Go slow. Take it easy. And I'm doing that. But I'm not going to quit. Lord willing. Not quit praying. Not quit sending out the brethren to their mission places. And want to get back somewhere along the line to having a place in every mission place on Sunday night. I asked y'all to pray with me about that. Oh, I remember when we had it. I remember. Listen, going to the mission. And I'm not going to quit going out myself as I get able. Listen now, folks. The Lord supply our need, and I can't sit still and see our folks go out into eternity lost. That's the greatest fear, if you will, in my heart, that I would have to stand and preach the gospel. Stand and conduct a funeral to some of you who never get saved. I've told folks, don't ask me to bury you if you won't never get saved. It's a joy to bury the dead who died in the Lord. Scripture says it's great to die in the Lord. Oh, listen. I can't be comfortable. Listen. You can't find a place of comfort on the sick bed. You can't. Can't find just that little comfortable place. That's exactly the way I am in this work. I can't find a place. Listen, if I go to Hattiesburg for a night, I want to come on back. If I miss being here for services, I wanted to be here. I want to be where the Lord wants me to be. And I want to see you. I want you to come on. Don't forget. Don't slack the services, folks. Don't. I used to hear Brother Shelton once in a while. He would say, you stay home tonight. It could be the night the Holy Spirit comes and you miss him. He misses you. Amen. Let that soak in, folks. That the Holy Spirit is everything in our salvation. He awakens you and he brings you. But if you come, you don't come, you don't hear the gospel. How many folks are hearing the gospel these days? I don't want to criticize any ministry whatsoever, but I recognize error when I see it. And I see a lot of it. But listen, listen. I know I'm rambling around, but if you don't mind putting up with me. I miss being here for the services. And I want to be here. And the Lord wants me to be here. And listen, and I want to see you. We go on record this morning that I'm asking the Lord to show me where He's leading this work. And then give me grace. Give me perseverance. Give me stickability. Oh, listen, listen. Some folks used to call it stickability. It's an old country term. Say, well, he doesn't have any stickability. Maybe you've never heard that before. But I want to have that stickability, and I want you to have it. The Lord has given every one of us a certain amount of knowledge, a certain amount of talent, a certain amount of something that we can do for the Lord in the Lord's work. And I'm asking the Lord to give you that stickability, and I'm encouraging you with these words that God, though He slay us, we can trust Him. The Lord takes me from here, He'll raise up someone else. If you ever worry about this, if you worry about that, don't. Don't worry about it. Somebody asked me one day, Pastor, what's going to happen when the Lord takes you home? I said, well, that's not my problem. That's not my problem. Brother Shelton died almost suddenly. Wasn't sick, but a few hours. Same way with Brother Gale. Someone said when Brother Shelton died, work wouldn't last 90 days. Well, it's been a long, long time, huh? He didn't know what he was talking about. But that's all right. Listen, listen. I want to be found walking with the Lord, walking in His will, follow the Lord in all things. Never allow, never permit the flesh, my old flesh, my desires after the flesh, to stand in the way of God's work. I don't want anything, any desires of my heart to do that. Any physical thing that amounts to nothing. Some little petty desire that I would rather be doing than being involved in the Lord's work. I don't want that to happen. I pray that it don't happen. If it happens in your life, shame on you. I realize and know that the Lord has placed me here as your pastor. I believe that with all my heart. And I know my limitation. Surely I know that the Lord doesn't need me, doesn't need you. And I've told you that many, many times, what grace it is. Listen, and that's the truth. I know that. I know that far greater than you do, but the Lord has put me here by His grace as long as He leaves me here. We used to have a saying, folks would say, the Lord can take a crooked stick and hit a straight lick with it. We've seen that over the years, haven't we? The Lord takes those crooked sticks. But the greatest thing in the world, folks, is to come to know the Lord. Not to come to church, not to be this whatever you want to be, but to know the Lord in the reality of knowing that one day you go to be with the Lord. I don't know what heaven will be like. It's not my business. I don't think about it. But I know the Lord's in charge. I know He's in control. If you want to go back all of those eons of time that we know about, how the Lord created Adam and Eve, saved them, give them desires, come all the way through the Old Testament. I like to read the Old Testament. I think about Cain and Abel. Did you know that all Cain had to do was ask his brother for a lamb? See how man is? We're so proud. We're so fickle. Adam had a pasture full of sheep. And Cain brought some turnips and mustard to the offering. It was a sacrificial offering. He brought the best he had. And then he got mad because the Lord wouldn't accept it. But all he had to do, and I thought about that early on, years ago. All he did is say, "Brother, let me have one of them little old sheep. I want to take him up there, cut his throat, let him bleed." But he didn't do it. And I never did know what the land of Nod was. If y'all know, let some of you tell me. He left and went into the land of Nod. Never hear from him again, did we? I guess that's where Nod is. But my friend, we have a Lord that we can trust. And that's what Job, he was confident that he could trust the Lord. And in all of, we don't even know about suffering. We don't know about calamities. We don't know about those things according to what he suffered. And there was a lot of other folks that suffered. If y'all have never looked at Fox's Book of Martyrs, I wish you'd get it and read it. It's about the saints who were martyred, burned at the stake. We had one lady that was harboring the pastor, and they caught up with her and took her out in the street and drove down a stake and tied her to it and burned her. Burned her body right there on the street just for hiding the preacher. But, you know, those things impress you. And we have, I don't know if we have in the bookstore or not. I have one. If you want to read it, I'll let you borrow mine. Put my name in it first. But it's a blessing, my friend. Listen and read. I'm sorry that our folks don't read God's Word. Don't read those good sound books that we have. That's been one of the blessings of my life, Pastor Shelton. Recommend it. And I liked to read when I was a kid. But we're running out of time, and I know I haven't said much, but I know where my heart is. It's right here, wanting to see you saved. Our Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for those stations in Alaska, that station in Alaska. And we ask you for the one in Mobile and one in Alexandria, along with all of our other radio mission stations all over the world, Father. And for those who hear over the sermon audio and other places that we hear, we ask you for them. We ask you to bring us back tonight with a prayer meeting. Give us grace to be here if it be thy will. Have mercy upon us, O Lord. Save our people. Save our families. Save our children, our grandchildren, our lovers of our soul. We ask you for them. Have mercy upon us, O Lord. Go with us now to our homes. Give us traveling mercy time after time. We ask all of this in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Goodbye, folks, and God bless you.